CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we get together every weekday afternoon, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, please call us. Because, again, we don't want people to be hanging their hat on a pin that's not there. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, we get calls all the time. Oh, I went to church last Sunday and the minister said this, 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 and this. Is that in the Bible? And quite often it's not. And so we want to really track what does the Bible say. Now, you really don't have this problem a lot of times when teachers teach out of the Bible. Unfortunately, that's almost a thing of the past, where now they use a piece of a verse or a thought or a warm fuzzy and make a whole sermon upon it and lead people down a bunny trail that they should have never gone down. So if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, you read the Bible on your own, something you don't understand, again, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. Joining me today, featured CSN speaker here on the Weekend Times, the Dacus Report, Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. Hi and welcome.
Oh, it's great to be on the show, Pastor Mike. Thank you.
Tell us about NRB. I mean, it's the little thriving metropolis right there. Well, tell us all about it.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was at the Gaylord Hotel there in Dallas, Texas, and they had a record number of people at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I was very impressed. I just really felt God moving. And there were just so many opportunities, things that God opened up in terms of media and others, some people that needed help that we were able to help. It was just, I mean, Satan was probably very miserable that whole time because I just saw so much good being done and God's kingdom being furthered through these interactions with people in Christian media, with programs and technology, et cetera. So it was fantastic and a lot of work. And we had a lot of interviews. A lot of people interviewed me, and it was just a real blessing. And I was very pleased. So it was a great, great experience. Hopefully, I'll see you next time.
Yeah, no, I will be there the next time. I plan on being there, and if the Lord tarries. And again, one of the things that we have to look at right now in this world is what manner of people should we be? You know, we've got all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And, you know, Brad, we see a lot of stuff, Trump making these executive orders, and then you have these non-elected judges blocking it. No, what in the world's going on?
Yeah, this is a strategy of those on the left, which is to block President Trump's legal, valid, constitutional executive orders. There's, you know, maybe one that I think might not survive Supreme Court review, the one dealing with birthright citizenship. But I really believe that the almost, you know, 98% of those that he signed will in the end be upheld by the Supreme Court as constitutional. I also predict, and we talked about this on the panel I was on at the NRB, I also predict that they're not going to draw out over several years and just stagnate his administration. No, quite the contrary. The Supreme Court, I think they get it, that this is a clear attempt to thwart the will of the people and the voice of the people during this last election. So I think they're going to move on these cases very quickly. They're going to be appealed and taken up very quickly. That's my prediction. And the other attorneys on the panel agreed with me on that. So I'm somewhat optimistic that it's getting more of a bump in the road than an outright wall of blockage.
You know, I'm just amazed that anybody would be opposed to the DOGE, you know, trying to find out where all this wasteful spending is. You'd think the Democrats would be out in front parading it, but for some unknown reason, they're opposed to it. Now, right. Are they on the take? Are they guilty of embezzlement? Why would anybody be opposed to finding waste in government? I mean, all of America has known that for the last 40 years. And now we actually have somebody going in and looking at it. Oh, Musk wasn't elected by the people. No, it's his job. He was appointed by the president. Dopey Louis, you know, they don't get it. But the point is so amazing to me is that you would think everybody would want this wasteful spending. These government offices just filled with pencil pushers and paper pushers doing nothing. And to cut the government, otherwise we're going to go into a depression. We're going to go into recession. And this is not good. Again, you know, Brad, I kept hearing from the previous administration, in 3 years, you will own nothing and be happy. I was thinking to myself when I heard that, how do you own nothing in 3 years? Oh, I get it. By spending America into oblivion, going into a depression, the lender then takes over everything, seizes all of our assets, and we own nothing, but then it will be redistributed by them according to their will, and we end up with nothing. This is a common saying, everybody. Check it out on the internet. In 3 years, you will own nothing and be happy. This was repeated over and over and over again during the Biden years. And I couldn't figure it out. Now I think I figure it out. They were going to ram our country into the ground, let the new America, communist America, emerge that would be part of the one world order. And everything was going to be beautiful. And Trump wrecked it. And the liberal news media is rabid. I mean, frothy mouth. I can't believe. Even the Democrats, when you look at MSNBC, the people they're letting go. I mean, I'm amazed that even they realize that they're over the top. And, and you know, I Musk said 2 days ago, he said, if we do not do this, we will go into depression. And we could lose our country. And we're spending more right now, everyone, on the interest on the national debt, on the $36 trillion plus. There's a lot more debt than just that, but the one that everybody knows about. We're spending more on our national debt interest, over $1 trillion, than we spend on our national defense.
Right.
Brad, and that's crazy.
And it's going to get worse and worse. And then the dollar itself is going to be challenged as an international currency, and the value challenged as well. So the stakes are extremely high, and we're talking about the heads of major banks like the Bank of America and of course Mr. Diamond and others that are just highly respected experts saying the same thing, coming out saying, you know what, we have to do this. This is a necessity. We're getting towards the end of a cliff of no return. So I'm very optimistic. We also need to recognize, though, we're talking about major surgery here, dealing with government. So whenever you have surgery, you're going to have some pain, you're going to have some scarring, but it needs to be done. And we will adjust. And I'm very optimistic, given what's happening now.
Did you see that one judge that said, cutting all these federal jobs is unconstitutional? How can cutting jobs be unconstitutional when it's bona fide, declarated waste?
Right. And the president has that power. We have some activist judges. And when you look at who appointed these judges, I do it all the time. When one of these judges says, you can't do that. Restraining order, you can't fire. I look at who hired them and I go, okay, that explains it. What president hired them? Okay, that explains it. So we have activist judges. They're going to be screaming and yelling and engaging in these tactics. But we've got a great Supreme Court, and I'm very optimistic moving ahead.
Wonderful. Well, to the phones we go. Again, if you've got a legal question today, Brad Dacus represents people like you and me and organizations against unfair laws and practices. If you've got a question you'd like to ask, today is your day. It's free. Legal advice. Brad, I'm so grateful that you do this for all of us folk. It's always a blessing to be able to do that. The phones we go, again, 8888, ask CSN's the number to call. Jerry on the line in Washington. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My question is for Mr. Dacus today.
Good. Okay.
So I had an experience where I was discharged because I didn't have the COVID vaccine. And then I went through the EEOC things, just like Mr. Dacus said to do. I got my permission to sue, but I didn't get an attorney in time. So I went to a private attorney to go that route. Now, my private attorney took it on, was going to do the job, actually filed the initial paperwork with the state. And then all of a sudden he had a stroke. And so now he's not going to be able to finish my case. And he recommended me to another attorney to take it over. I went to that attorney, and the attorney went through all the meetings with me and everything, wrote up everything. And then he said, well, we'll file this today, but I'm not going to be able to stay on the case. You're going to have to find another attorney. Well, I've been looking and looking. I've been calling and calling. I even called, or I actually sent an email to Mr. Dacus's firm, and somebody from Utah replied back, we can't help you. We don't know what to tell you. And I'm just wondering, Mr. Dacus, what do I do, man? What do I do? Do I give up? I mean, these guys are saying that they're going to countersue me. So,
yeah. Well, actually, we have three states. I didn't think Utah was one of those states. Three states where we are have reached our maximum on COVID cases. Our organization have more cases in litigation defending more people than involving COVID vaccine mandates than any other law firm or organization in America, bar none. I think we even have four times more than the EEOC has as far as cases involving this. So. We're busy. We've taken on tons of cases. Utah was not one of the states that we had marked, that I understood was marked, that we had hit our cap. So what I want you to do is to leave me your name and phone number so I can get back with you and talk to you more about this situation and see what we can do. So if you want to give me your name and number, or you can you call and contact our office and leave your name and number. I give you that phone number. It's 916-857-6900. 916-857-6900. We don't have an office in Utah, so we're going to have to find an affiliate attorney in Utah who might be willing to take up this case. But I'm glad you called, and we'll do everything we can. We want to make sure everyone gets help. That's our point of distinction. That said, sometimes things happen, and we have a hard time meeting that goal. But I want to make sure we're doing everything we can to help you. So call that number. What's your name? You mind me asking your first name?
Jerry.
Yeah, it's Jerry Williams. I'm going to give you my proper name. Gerald Williams is my proper name. But the thing of it is, I'm not in Utah. I'm in Washington State.
Okay, Washington State. So that's where you file, is Washington State. Is that right?
That's correct. And not in a major county. It's in a smaller county. So I thought I'd have better luck that way. But
yeah. Washington State, California, I think Oregon. Those are the three states that we have hit our max as far as our in-house attorneys. That said, maybe we can find someone for you, Jerry, that's one of our affiliate attorneys. So please contact our office, give me your information, and we'll see if there's some way we can find an attorney. But those are three states that we have maxed out in terms of our attorneys. We're trying to hire more attorneys. We want to hire another one in Washington State, for example. We haven't found, we have three offices, two offices have attorneys. The third office, we need to get another attorney. Where do you live in Washington State? Seattle, Tri-City, Spokane?
Jerry, are you what big city are you close to?
I'm close to Olympia. I'm about 30 miles south of Olympia.
Okay, so that'd be the Seattle area office. And I know that attorney is on our staff attorney there is overwhelmed as far as the max. He's reached his max. So we're going to need to see if we can find an affiliate for you, but we'll be happy to do that. And as far as your contact phone number, if you just contact our number and leave that with the staff person, we'll do all we can to try to find you someone. But most of the country, most states, our attorneys can take on these cases with no problem. But the tyranny was so great and so strong in those three states, Washington, Oregon, and California, that our staff attorneys have reached their max, where if they take on another one, it would infringe upon their ability to give quality representation to the others they've already taken on. As we get these cases settled, we may have others, but you have a statute of limitations. So I encourage you also to look yourself and see what else you can find out there. We also have affiliate attorneys on our website as well, pji.org. And on there, you'll also find the Christian Legal Society directory for attorneys, separate list, great attorneys. And you can look at those and see who gets engaged in Title VII employment law, labor law, and see if there's someone there that could possibly help you as well.
Hope that helps, Jerry. Go ahead.
I've actually gone down that road, and I've actually called a lot of attorneys, and nobody's willing to take it on. I will call that number.
Yeah.
Number and leave my number there, but hopefully somebody understands the situation. I mean, it's not like I'm just trying to find an attorney. I'm trying to find an attorney to take over.
So. Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand. I understand, Jerry. By the way, what area of were you in the medical industry at all? Because those are very difficult.
No, sir. Sir. I was working for the state itself. But my wife worked for the state and for the university, and she was given an exemption and a accommodation, and they didn't even meet with me to discuss the accommodations. The director just made the decision, said, nope, if you don't 100% telework, you're done, period.
Okay, so it sounds like you have a great case, and you're work for the a government entity for the state of Washington, not a healthcare medical industry. That's good to know. So we'll see what we can do, Jerry. And I'm sorry we didn't have someone on staff at this time to take it on. But you're happen to be in one of the three states out of 50 that we've reached our cap for our in-house staff. So we'll see what we can do with our affiliate attorney list.
So Jerry, let us know. I know Brad is very concerned about your
yes.
case, and we don't want to see the statute run out on that. So yeah, please do those things. And, remember Brad's usually on with me on Friday afternoons. And so, if you don't get anywhere, please call us back and we'll do what we can do. Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. Both of you.
Jerry, God bless you. Stay in line. If you like, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, encourage you and your friends.
Thanks, Jerry.
Let's go to Jeffrey, Mineral Wells, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I'm preparing some lessons for my teen Sunday school class and stuff. And if we're all around Romans 8:28, and so I'm doing, I've been searching through the word and looking for situations where God is, take all things, good work out for those who love God and even bad situations. And one thing that I was looking at was in 2 Chronicles 33 with Manasseh, and he did, he's a very wicked king, and did very, 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 very much wicked in the sight of the Lord. But he was humbled. He was said that he was taken away and changed by the Assyrians to Babylon, but then he humbled him, and he came, he sought the Lord, humbled himself before the Lord, and he came right with the Lord. But it goes on to say that he put him back into his kingdom. So, do you know, was Manasseh taken out of his kingdom for a period of time during this time it's talking about, and then inserted back into his kingdom, back into his rightful place?
Yeah, appears that way. It appears that way because of his rebellion, and then upon his repentance, God gave him a break, if you will, and we find this a lot of times. That vassal kings would, or maybe I should say the real king would do this to keep the uprising in these lands to a minimum. And so that's why sometimes we see that. But knowing that God does divinely orchestrate our steps and that we're not anywhere as a Christian by accident, that God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. And that's why it says all things work together for good that are called according to his purpose. And that is so important. And again, when you belong to God, he's your father, and our father has good things for his kids. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I agree. And God can take the worst of situations and do something beautiful with it, even if it has all of our dirt and grime on the process. There's so many powerful testimonies today, and it is interesting to see how God is just. You know, He disciplines the nation of Israel. He calls out when they turn against Him. And yet He also displays continually his grace and His mercy and His opportunity for repentance, both individually for the king, but also for the people. So, it's interesting to see that you can see the character of God, both His righteousness as well as his grace and compassion and mercy all throughout the scriptures. I once had a teacher who said, my AP English teacher in school, she said, I went to a public school, and she says, you know, it's interesting to see how God changes throughout the scripture. And I just shook my head. I thought, oh, no. Oh, no. She's not reading her Bible. I think God is really very evident in His character throughout the Old and New Testament.
Amen. And hope that helps.
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask you one other little question?
Try to be. Go clear. Ahead. Go ahead.
In part of this study, I mean, I've been looking at it. Of course, you know, all those are called according to His purpose. You know, God works those for good. I'm sorry, I'm kind of trying to hurry. But you look at that and you kind of unpack it the other direction. And, of course, someone who does not love God, well, they cannot expect good things. They can expect evil things. And so there's a couple of scriptures, of course. Now, you want to, you might infamously know right off the top of your head, and that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it's really after the Antichrist has been revealed and those who have not received the love of the truth, received the gospel, that they should believe a lie and God will, you know, basically they'll be damned, and that number one. But the part of that, as I was looking through, and I'm trying to find here, okay, 2 Corinthians 2, if you guys wouldn't mind unpacking this for me, it's a little bit better. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 15 and 16, and it says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, who we are the aroma of death leading to death. The other, we are the aroma of life leading to life." What does that say to you with regard to what I mean when I'm talking about with 2 Thessalonians 2, that, you know, you get to a point where, you know, you're given over. That's also Romans 1 to me. But how do you unpack that verse 15 and 16? Can you relate it to that?
Sure. Simply this, that to some were the fragrance of life and to others were the stench of death. This is what rejection of Christ is about. This is what rejection of Christians is about, or Christian principles. It's the stench of death. And you see this in the liberal news media. Oh, you know, a man and a woman should only be the ones married. That's narrow-minded, Victorian age fundamentalism. No, it's kind of like absolute fact. Well, there's dozens of genders. No, there's not. There's male and female, the Bible says. And no matter how much they chew on you, chop on you, whatever they do, chemically bomb you, whatever, you still have your chromosomes that say whether you're a male or a female. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. You can feel like you're a cat, but that doesn't mean you are one. It means you're deranged in the head, but it doesn't mean that you're a cat. And this is the problem. And where the liberals are saying, if you don't accept me identifying as a cat, you are the one that's messed up. Oh, no, friends. No, no. One thing that insanity always tries to do is justify itself. And this is a real scary thought. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is a real important reminder of how powerful the spiritual war is.
Yeah.
There's really no such thing as spiritual neutrality, in my opinion. I when we are followers of Christ, and it's interesting how it says, for we are a fragrance, didn't say for Christ, it's of Christ. In other words, Christ is manifest through us as followers of Jesus. And That sets people free. People see the gospel, they hear the gospel, their lives are transformed. They're a new person, new life in Christ. And we just sometimes we just look at that, but we forget the other side of the coin. People that don't reject, people that don't accept Christ, people who reject the gospel, reject the truth. To them, it's death. They turn from it. There is no neutrality in Christ and the spiritual war. And I think we need to understand that the world is going to respond to us accordingly. If they're not convicted to repentance, and they don't know the Lord, we can expect them to despise us because of the power of the light piercing the darkness that they're choosing to live in.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Jeffrey, continue on, and I'll send you some books and DVDs. Great for your classes, and you may want, if you need more, let me know. We're here for you to help you. God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Carlos White, Salmon, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
God bless you, pastors. Thank you very much for taking my call. My question is, I got to be a little bit of context right here. I work in constructions in different places, and then sometimes we get to a place, and then it's a Saturday, and then sometimes the customer or sometimes the neighbor said, hey, you're not supposed to work today, and get out of here. And I just want to try to explain, hey, I'm a believer too, and my rest is Jesus, because Jesus said he is my Savior. And but then again, I want to understand, how can I give a good answer?
Well, we're going to talk about that. We're coming up on a break, Carlos. We don't want you or anybody else to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more coming up right after these messages. We'll be right back.
In 2007, when Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, cried out to God, "What can I do for you?" the answer came loud and clear.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often. But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Jerry Man and Answer on this Friday afternoon with Brad Dacus. He's the president of PJI.org and PJI Pacific Justice Institute, representing people like you and me against unfair laws and practices. And so if you have a legal question, again, we want to encourage you to give us a call today as we have Brad with us for the remaining of the program. When we went to the break, we were speaking with Carlos about, how do we respond to people that wonder about, do we take Saturday or Sunday off in our faith? Now, Carlos, going back to you, to clarify your question for us, please do that.
Oh, yes, yes. That's the point as I understand reading the Bible, Sabbath means rest. So yes. I guess Jesus is a rest, and I believe that. But the other point that they're trying to make sometimes when I try to talk to them is that the Sabbath, it's a seal, like the mark of the beast is the seal for the bad, and the Sabbath should be the seal for the good. So I don't know how to try it, and I'd like to point me to somewhere to read, some kind of book to understand more, to have a better answer for the hope that I have.
Well, of course, Matthew 12:8, we have Jesus, for the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. We find our fulfillment of the righteous requirement of the law in Christ Jesus. Now, the Sabbath was a covenant made between God and the Jewish people. And I think that's really important to realize, because now, as we are under the new covenant, the covenant of grace, God still extends to us, I believe, that need to take a day off. Now, it may not be Sunday, it may not be Saturday, if you're in the law enforcement or paramedics or whatever, your day of rest may be a Tuesday or a Thursday. But I do believe that there should be one day a week where we enjoy what God has given us. The world has sayings for this. You know, well, you got to keep your nose to the grindstone. That says basically never a day off. Well, they also have a saying called stop and smell the roses. And interesting, for many Christians, they violate both of these. They know take a day off. And number two, some of them won't work any day of the week. You know, it's interesting, the Ten Commandments, 6 days thou shalt work, the seventh, you'll rest. Well, I might spend 5 days at my company. I might spend 1 day mowing lawns and painting and doing all that stuff. You got a honeydews you got to do. But there should be a day a week where you just enjoy what God's given you. That's the stop and smell the roses. And the world even recognizes there's an importance to that. But we need to do that as well. And you say, well, you know, I'm just not going to be able to make ends meet. Well, either God is God or he's not. And, you know, I've seen God come through in many, many wonderful ways. And in the book of Malachi, you know, the Bible says, when you tithe to the Lord, test me in this area, he says, and I'll pour out a blessing upon you that you can't contain. So I believe when we follow all of the counsel of God's word, we come up with a pretty good understanding of what God wants us to do. Now, somebody says, well, what if I end up having to work every, I don't get to take a day off. My car keeps breaking down and I have to, well, then probably get a different car. You know, well, what if my horse keeps falling in the ditch? Can I go get it out? Yeah, but if it keeps falling in the ditch, maybe look for a different horse. You see, I think there's always and can always be an excuse to not enjoy what God has given us. And I think that's a tragedy, because if we're not thankful for what we have, we won't be thankful for what we get. And sometimes we don't really realize what we have until we stop and look and see what God has given us. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, it is important for us to recognize the day of rest. That's what God commanded. He didn't command it because he wants to throw a wrench in what we want to do or are working. God wants us to work. But he gave that command for us, for our benefit, knowing that we need a day of rest. I'll never forget it. When I was early on in practicing law, I was working on a Sunday, and I was there late at night in the law library, and I was just working really hard. Just, I got these cases, and this is really important. And then on the way home, I had this migraine hit me. For the first time, I had my first migraine. And I went home, and I lost like a third of my vision. It was a classic migraine. And I just really felt like, okay, God, I get it. I'm going to recognize what you said, and I'm going to have a day of rest. Medical studies show that people who take a day of rest live longer. It's something for us. But it's also something for us to show respect for our Creator and appreciation for our Creator. When a child disrespects what a parent says is good for them, not only is the child going to face the consequences, but the child is also sending a message to their parent of disrespect. Heeding the Sabbath is also a way for us to show our Abba, our Father, yes, we trust you, we respect you, and we want to show that by being obedient and as to your word and what you say is best. Which is to take a day off. Paul makes it clear. Look, some of you are saying it's on one day, someday another day. Whatever you do, do for unto the Lord and to have some day of rest. And I think that's a real important for us not to get tied up. Satan would love to have us all ignore this to our own demise and to the demise, I think, of what God's best for us is as well.
Hope this helps.
Yes, thank you very much. And then I agree with you what you say. We have to take one day of rest, and I do that, but I have to confess sometimes I don't, so I have to work on that. But the point is to try to help some friends or some people that tell me they have to be on Saturday, otherwise you will not be in the kingdom. And that's what I'm trying to have a better understanding to tell them.
Oh, well, that they don't keep the Sabbath. All these people that get together on Saturday and say, oh, we keep the Sabbath, they're lying. And I'm trying to be very kind here. Because according to Levitical law, you can only travel so far from your house. You couldn't make anybody else work on the Sabbath. You couldn't kindle a fire on the Sabbath. There was a lot of restrictions in the Sabbath keeping. And they violate almost every one of them before they ever walk through the door of their church. So they really don't keep the Sabbath. And I talked to one time that was doing this, and they said, well, we keep the Sabbath by grace. And I said, no, you keep the Sabbath according to your own interpretation. Because if you go back to what Sabbath keeping is, according to Levitical law, you are in violation, period. Now, we do not add anything to our spirituality by worshiping on Saturday or Sunday or Tuesday. No good thing dwells in the flesh. The minute we think we can generate spirituality by worshiping on Sunday, not eating, or Saturday, or not eating pork, or eating organically grown food, or wearing orange, we're fooling ourselves. Our righteousness, the Bible clearly states, is a gift from God. We are clothed in his righteousness. Why do we need to be clothed in his righteousness? Because we are not righteous. We wrap ourselves in the mantle, in the coat of his righteousness, and that makes us righteous. The minute that we think that we do something and, oh, look how spiritual I am. I'm Captain Shiny Buttons. I do this and I don't do that. And I go, well, woo, woo, woo. There's nothing we do to generate righteousness. It is a gift of God. Anybody that says, oh, you're worshiping on the wrong day, they don't even know their Father in heaven. That's so sad. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Paul says. Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father which art in heaven. Do you know my children can come to me any day of the week? I don't mind it at all.
Right.
When somebody says, oh, you can only worship on Saturday. Oh, legal laws. They've changed a love relationship to a legal relationship. Brad, you know all about those things. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I just love your last point, Mike, and that they're changing a love relationship to a legal relationship. God wants a love relationship. And when we focus on the works, there's a problem that comes with that. Number one, we're basically saying, Jesus, what you did on the cross isn't good enough, or it's just too weak. I got to supplement it. And of course, that's abominable, really. Second, when we take works and our own works and our own legalism, we create pride in ourselves, our own self-pride, our own self-righteousness. Pride is one of the greatest barriers between us and God and being able to commune with God, because communing with God is recognizing that It's not about us. It's all about what Jesus did on the cross for us. And so I know when I was young, I used to be heavy into legalism when I was a young teenager in junior high and fifth grade, sixth grade, you know, early adolescence. I was huge, very extreme legalistic. I was very proud. And that it hinders a relationship with God and a kind of a loving relationship, which recognizes that we need him and we cannot do it on ourselves. No matter what we may seem like on the outside, God knows we're desperately in need of a savior.
And thank God for the police, the fire, paramedics, all those that work on Saturday and Sunday to scrape us up and put us back together again. Their day of rest may be a Tuesday or a Thursday. And to say that they're not going to heaven because they're not worshiping on the right day, dangerous, dangerous stuff.
Yes.
Because they're saying you go to heaven because you worship on Saturday, not because Jesus died on the cross for you. And it's his blood that covered your sins, not the day you worship on. How tragic is that? Our Father, which art in heaven. You see, God wants that father-child relationship with us. And I'm so glad I get to go to Daddy on Saturday and Sunday and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and times when I'm crying and times when I'm happy. Oh, what a difference it makes. Carlos, I hope that makes sense to you, and I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much for your answer. Understood. I agree with you. I really are growing a lot with your teachings. I work different places, and sometimes I always, the first thing I do is look for a Christian radio stations, and sometimes I never find all the teachings that I would like to, but so I hear most of it, and when something piques my interest and I have a question, that's why I ask a question. But thank you. Thank you very much. I'm growing, and I hope the next caller has the answer pretty good, and God bless you guys.
We're here for you, Carlos. Stay in line if you like. Send you out some books, DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. Great to share with your friends. Let's go to Tom, Olympia, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
Hello, this is for Brad Dacus. I have a question on the Constitution, Article 1. It deals both with representatives and with senators. It has the same type of wording. It says, no person shall be a representative who shall not have attained the age of 25 years and been 7 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be chosen. He has to be an inhabitant of that state. How can he not be?
That's what it's saying, is that in order to be a representative, you have to be, you have to inhabit that state. So you can't live in New York and never lived in California and be elected as a representative for the state of California. That's what it said. Maybe it's sort of like a double negative, if you will. But that's what it's saying. So that's a good question, but that's what it's saying. And that's why you'll see some people move from one state to another. I've seen this happen. And then they run for office. A friend of mine moved from California, moved to North Dakota, and he's now serving in the state, actually the state legislature, not Congress. That's applicable to the federal legislative branch. But that's the purpose of it, and it is still respected to this day.
Hope that helps.
Well, no, it doesn't help. It says, "Who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state." It says, "Not be an inhabitant." How can I say not be an inhabitant?
Okay, yeah. Brad. I'm glad you're here. I would never be able to answer this.
Yeah, so it's a. I see that as a double negative. So it's a double negative makes a positive. I don't know how else to word this. And you know, if you want to, I tell you what. If you want to call, I'd be happy to talk to you, explain it to you more. But for the sake of the radio program, it's probably the best way to go. Just call our number, 916-857-6900, and I'd be happy to talk to you. And by the way, I want to salute you that you are reading the Constitution. Do you know most attorneys who graduate from law school and have never read the entire Constitution? And it's very short, and it doesn't take that much time. So hats off to you, and there's empowerment when we take time to read the most important legal document, which is our Constitution.
So that's the directive, Tom. And if you give them a call, I believe that Brad be able to explain that to you very clearly. And you know, Brad, it is true, and I agree with Tom sometimes. You see some of these bills that are on our ballots, these propositions and different things, and the way they're worded is almost trickery. The way they say it, because you go, oh yeah, I don't want that, and you'll mark it, but you're actually voting for it. I've often wondered why they do these things. They word these, Prop 1 and different things, and they word them so that it isn't just yes or no. It's all gobbledygook.
Yeah, in California, we have propositions all the time, and it's somewhat frightening when I'll read it and I'll look at the title of it, and the title will be almost the opposite of what it actually is. And this is the Secretary of State. He looks like, yep, that's right, and approves it. So it is somewhat discouraging when we see that happen, and then the language sometimes, they write it in a way that you think, oh, this is for X, but reality, it's actually really doing Y, and instead of X. So yeah, this happens, and it's one of the flaws, and especially among our different states. Some states have higher integrity and character and making sure things are accurately worded. Other states are much more devious. California, I would say, is the latter, unfortunately.
Tom, give him a call. He'll fix you up. Stay on the line. We'll get you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you can enjoy. Share with your friends. With that, we'll go to Regina in Mesa, Arizona. Hi, and welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I did have one question originally, but I more recently started reading the Bible again.
Wonderful.
And my son was killed.
Oh, dear.
And I always struggle because I didn't teach him the way of the Lord. And as I'm reading the Bible again in Genesis 38:7, talks about how the sons of Ur were killed because they were wicked. And I didn't teach my son this. I didn't teach him anything because I wasn't saved. And so I wonder, it's been 3.5 years, and I just wonder, it was a good boy. And I just want to know where he is.
Regina, how old is he?
It was 15.
15. Well, Regina, I don't know. I'm not the judge. I do know that there's a lot of opportunity to hear about the Lord, even outside of your own home, through friends at school, different things like this. So I wouldn't be able to answer that. But I do know that God's a fair God. He's a good God, as the Bible tells us he is. And, Brad, when we look at stories like this, this is why I tell people every day is so important, because we may not have tomorrow. We always think, oh, I've got another 60 years yet. No, you may not.
Right.
And I think this is why it's so important that we recognize the frailty of life and how every day's got to count for God. Your thoughts?
Well, first, I just wanted to say that, Satan is a great accuser. And how could you share the gospel when you were at a time in life when you didn't know the gospel, you didn't know Christ in a personal way? So that's illogical that you should have any guilt to come upon you for at a time when you were lost yourself. It's like when one person's blind, how can they expect be feel guilty for not helping someone else that was blind to go in the right direction? You were blind yourself. So don't let Satan pull you in on that, number one. Number two is we're all individuals. We all have an individual will. I can't tell you how many times Christian families I've talked to, and they've been great Christian families, and they have two kids, and one child follows the Lord, the other one goes in a completely rebellious, different direction. Same house, same church, same youth group. So they're individuals. We're not zombies. We're not little robots made by our parents. There's an individual will, and we see that all throughout Scripture. You have a righteous king who loves the Lord, and then their children rebel, or like in the case of Job, for example, and his children rebelled. And he was never condemned for the fact that his children rebelled. He was condemned, and people speculate all these reasons why he was going through these hard times. No one ever made the accusation, well, your children didn't turn out right, because it was understood they have free will, just like your son has had free will. And the third point I want to make is this, and that is that, and, you know, Mike alluded to this, is that that God is a just God. There's, you know, you don't know, number one, maybe what he was exposed to in the way of the gospel. You know, maybe he right before he passed away, right before he died, maybe he cried out to the Lord. Maybe he cried out to God with a heart of repentance. I think we're going to be surprised in heaven, when we see people that are there who were saved, who cried out to the Lord, like one of the thieves on the cross. He repented on the cross before he was about to die. I think that we need to give that hope should always be there, that that your son may have cried out to the Lord. And I've talked to a young person once, and I told him, I said, look, you're rebelling against God. You don't believe in God, but let me just tell you, he's always there. And you can always cry out to him. And he's there. And so you keep that hope. That's always a possibility that he may have cried out with a heart of humility and repentance to the Lord right before he died, or at that moment in that time.
Again, Regina, our heart goes out to you. It's always a such a tragic loss. My cousin, my dear cousin, his daughter died, and he said, parents shouldn't bury their kids. That's what he said, and I agree. But it does happen, and because it happens, I believe that, again, this is why we need to take every day serious. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us, and to be about our Father's business each and every day. I hope that helps, Regina. And to say for sure where he's at, I can't, but being he was young, God's merciful. So I hope that gives you a little hope, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you, dear. Don't beat yourself up. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. So be free in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray that you put a hedge of protection around Regina, that you don't let her be beat up by this anymore, but that her son is in your hands, and to do the very best in Jesus' name. And Lord, help her grow in your love each and every day. We put this in your hands, Jesus. Amen.
And Matt, Regina? If I could mention one more thing.
Go ahead.
And it's on my heart, so I just want to mention it real briefly. And this is to those parents out there who do know the gospel, who perhaps went to church, who received Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and you have children, and you're not taking those children to church. You need to be responsible for your children as best you can, to take them to church, to let them hear the gospel. Your parents took you to church. You heard the gospel. You heard the message. And I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but you need to be responsible. Do not engage in spiritual neglect when you know what's right and you know what's true and you know the truth. Be responsible. Bring your child, take your children to church. They may say, I don't want to go. That's not their decision. They're under your house. You be responsible and make sure that they are exposed to the word and the truth and the light. And if you don't do that, you're going to regret it for many years after that time has passed. When they've left your house and they've gone maybe to college and they've gone out, you don't have that window of opportunity. Seize that opportunity for such a time as this.
Amen. And again, because we may not have it again.
Right.
The minute the kid says, well, I don't want to do that. Well, I don't want to eat my broccoli. I just want to eat hot fudge sundaes. The kids don't know what they want. That's why we're their parents and we direct them in the ways that they should. Stay in line, Regina will send you out some books and DVDs. Bob, if you want to get to your question, if you can call us on Monday, I'll put you on first thing. And thank you so much, Brad, for being on the radio. Hope you go to church this Sunday. And again, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Until then, God bless you.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.